Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Happy Easter. I'm so glad to be with you as we look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Easter, also known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And I really hope you're enjoying the Easter season. Remember, it is a season. We're going to be in this season for several weeks. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. It is something to be celebrated, not just during the one day of Easter, but throughout the entire Easter season. That's because it's such a big deal. So I hope you'll be able to get a sense of this as we look at these readings for Divine Mercy Sunday, which is you're going to see it just fall into place nicely, this thought of God's mercy endures forever. And that's why these readings are so appropriate for this Divine Mercy Sunday, because you're going to see examples of His mercy throughout the reading. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pray? And then we'll get right on with the program. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for being here with us right now. Father, we know that you are present with us, even though we can't see you. We know that you are here with us. We know that you can hear our words. We know that you can see each of us today. And we know that you are bigger than any problem or challenge we could ever face. With that in mind, Father, we turn to you with thankful hearts. And we first want to give you thanks for your great mercy, the many times that you continue to forgive us, even though we repeatedly commit the same sins of omission, of commission. You repeatedly forgive us. All we need to do is come to you and ask for your mercy to be poured out on us as you forgive us for our sins. We're very grateful for that, Father. We're grateful for the fact that you are willing to listen to our petitions. And we do believe that you will grant them if they are truly beneficial for us. So we lift up all of our needs today. We lift up all of our friends, our families, those who have asked for our prayers, those for whom we may have promised to pray, and we've forgotten about. We pray for the United States. We pray for the entire world. We pray for the church. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all those who are headed down the wrong path and very much are in need of your mercy, Father. We ask you today to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit. I ask you pour out your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver the message that you have for us today. And Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Thank you for joining me on the program. And I hope you can settle in for the next 30 minutes or so as we take a look at these Mass readings for the second Sunday of Easter. Again, Divine Mercy Sunday. I hope you're having a great Easter season. I hope you are doing well. And I thank you for all of the Easter wishes. I thank you for the various prayers that you sent my way. I thank you for the donations for my ministry. I want to direct you to, before we start the program, to my website in case you want to find out more about my work, in case you want to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, and or if you want to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and you can find out all about me there and the work that I do. And if you have any questions, you can email me through the website or directly by emailing Gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let me take a sip of my water here, get ready to get started. And again, these are great readings. I think you're going to really enjoy them. And they are a reminder for us that, and as I look at these readings, they're not overly long today, but they're a reminder for us of something we could easily forget. The Lord's mercy, it's infinite. The only thing that can block the Lord's mercy is us not asking for it. And so I'm going to encourage you today to ask for the Lord to be merciful to you, whether it's a matter of maybe you've sinned, maybe you're just struggling with anxiety, you need him to give you some comfort. His mercy endures forever, as you're going to hear in the responsorial psalm. So ask him. Ask him for whatever you need. And you can be sure that he will deliver in the right way. You know, we got to give him time. We have to respect his manner of answering our prayers. But he's going to give us what we need at the right time. And give us what we need. Sometimes we have our own ideas about what we need. And maybe we don't really need everything that we think we do. And that's sometimes you can tell that by the way the Lord will say no from time to time. And then you know, well, I don't know why, but this, whatever I was asking for, wasn't good for me. Sometimes he also says, wait, or not yet. And we have trouble with that because we think he's saying no. But wait or not yet, they are not the same as no. When he says no, it's pretty clear to understand that. So don't give up praying for what you think you need just because he's delaying. He does that sometimes because he wants you to grow in faith, and maybe the time is just not right yet. Maybe you need to learn something. Maybe somebody else needs to learn something. You just never know. But we just, through faith, we are called to trust the Lord, to trust that he does have our best interests at heart, that he wants to do what's best for us. But he calls us through faith to trust him. And sometimes that's not easy. So let's take a look at these readings. We'll begin with the gospel, as we always do on the program, and then we'll use the other readings to back up the gospel. So the gospel for Divine Mercy Sunday comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And this takes place, this reading here from the gospel, takes place on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. All right, we've got a lot to unpack in that gospel from today's Mass. So let's try to look at a few of the elements that I see in this gospel. One of the things that really is striking to me, and when I lead my parish missions, I typically preach about this on the last night of the parish mission, the evening of the first day of the week. So Jesus had risen from the dead, but his apostles are hiding in fear because they haven't seen him yet. They haven't seen the risen Jesus, and they're afraid. They're afraid because it says here, for fear of the Jews. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders, the ones who put Jesus to death. And their thought is that, well, they killed our leader. They killed our master. Now they're going to come after us. And that's why they're hiding with fear. And Jesus came. Remember, the doors are locked. There's no indication of how Jesus got in there. But he came and he stood in their midst. And I think the image that most of us have when we hear this is that he passed through the door, which he could do. Now he has a glorified body. He's able to do that. He passed through the door. Again, not clearly mentioned in the gospel, but that's typically what many of us think when we read this. He came and he stood in their midst and he said to them, peace be with you. And so one of the main messages that I get out of this, and you know, this is we don't want to lose sight of this overall message of divine mercy. And mercy is when the definition I've heard is when love encounters suffering and does something about it. And what we have to remember is that Jesus, because he is all powerful, he's just not going to feel sorry for us or let his heart go out to us when we are suffering. Because he's all powerful, he is always ready to do whatever he can to in some way alleviate the suffering. Now notice what happens here. He doesn't take the threat away. The Jewish leaders are still outside the doors. Doors are still locked. But Jesus came, stood in the midst of them as they are locked up, hiding because they're afraid. Now, you know, we might not be hiding behind closed doors, but I think most of us can think of something that scares us right now. Could be anything. It could be the fear of the future. It could be a financial problem. It could be general loneliness. It could be poor health. Maybe we're not feeling well. Maybe we're worried that we will not feel well at some point. Whatever the reason is, we often find ourselves locked up and imprisoned by our fears, which is exactly what's happening here. But notice, Jesus finds a way to break through the walls that are set up here. I mean, they locked the doors. The apostles are the ones who locked the doors because they're afraid. Jesus found a way to break through those locked doors. And what does he give to them? He gives them peace. He says, peace be with you. And there's the reminder for us that so many times we think, or the world anyway teaches us, this is the common message that we hear, that in order to be at peace, we have to get rid of our problems. If you have a problem, if you have a sickness, if you're struggling financially, you've got to get rid of that problem before you experience peace. But that's not the supernatural peace that the Lord can give to us. His peace can coexist with even the most serious problem. And we see a case of that here. The threat is not removed. The leaders are still outside the doors. The threat is still there. But Jesus came and said to them, peace be with you. He gives them and us his peace. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. In other words, he was offering proof of the resurrection. Look, you and I, we look back with 2,000 years of hindsight. Many of us are products of Catholic education. We've accepted this from as long as we can remember, you know, for many of us, from our childhood, for some of us, that Jesus rose from the dead. But these guys had never seen anybody rise from the dead. Of course, they saw Lazarus, but sometimes it takes more than that for them to really grasp what happened. I mean, they saw, as far as I know, the way Lazarus died wasn't nearly as graphic as the way Jesus died. And either they saw it, most of them weren't there, but they saw eyewitnesses about how Jesus died on the cross. Then he was buried in the tomb. And it was hard for them to wrap their brain around the fact that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. So he showed them his hands and his side, indicating that, yeah, this happened to me, but look, I've risen. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And that's that idea that when you come into contact with Jesus, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through the sacraments, whether it's through the scriptures, there's a certain joy that comes from that because you have that connection with the Lord. So they rejoiced when they saw him. And then he said to them again, peace be with you. So he repeated the message, peace be with you. And that's a message that I think we can all stand to hear multiple times, because there are so many times where we repeatedly become overwhelmed by our problems. Now here, there's something very special happens here. Jesus says to them, now remember, these are the apostles, called the disciples in this gospel, but they're the apostles. He breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. So the church teaches what's happening here is He is giving the apostles, or the first bishops, so they are also priests, he's giving them the authority to forgive sins. He's instituting the sacrament of confession. And when it comes to mercy, that's the ordinary channel for God's mercy to be poured out. That's how he forgives our sins, through the sacrament of confession. So he is instituting this sacrament here. Then Thomas, good old doubting Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, he wasn't with them when Jesus came. So, you know, this is very interesting how this happened. So the other disciples said to him, look, we've seen the Lord. What happens? Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, well, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand in his side, I won't believe. And so Thomas is sort of, he has some hardness of heart, but he doesn't want to believe the witness of the apostles. You know, maybe he's just trying to be sure. I can certainly see his point. But here's the whatever his reason, here's what's incredibly important. A week later, what happened? The doors are locked again. Thomas is with them this time. And what happened? Jesus came back. So I think, and he gives Thomas the chance to really examine his wounds. And I think the great message for us is, if we are struggling to believe, if we're doubting in Jesus, if we're having a hard time accepting that what he's saying is true, if we're having a hard time accepting his presence in our lives, know that he's not going to leave us alone. He came back for Thomas, for that one doubting apostle, because he wanted to make sure that Thomas also believed. He gave them the chance. Thomas then said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus brings up a great point. Have you come to believe because you have seen me? And he goes on to say, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You and I, we have not seen Jesus in the flesh. You and I have not had the opportunity to touch his wounds. But yet when we believe, when we choose to believe through faith, the Lord's calling us blessed. So take that as a compliment. Take that as an endorsement of the power of believing without seeing. And, you know, I like to use the expression, believing is seeing, rather than seeing is believing. When we believe in the Lord, when we believe in his power, when we believe in his presence, then we begin to see him in the events of our daily lives. Even though we don't necessarily see things as concretely as we would like, when we choose to believe, then it's easier for us to see his goodness, even in the negative things that take place in life. And then this section of the gospel wraps up, telling us that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in the book. But the ones that are included in this gospel of John are written so that you and I may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Remember, seeing is believing. That's the phrase we hear often. But yet Jesus is saying, blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have believed. How do we believe? We believe, of course, through the gift of faith. But also, what increases our belief is sometimes reading about these incidents in the Gospels. So what the Lord said is, the things that are included in the Gospels, the miracles that are included there in all of Scripture, they're included there for a reason, to help strengthen our belief that Jesus is who he says he is. So let's look at the other readings now to back up this gospel. And you're going to see the mercy theme unfold. Now remember, they're hurting. The apostles are hiding. They're afraid. They don't know which way to turn. And Jesus reaches out to them and comforts them. That's an example of his mercy, as is the institution of the sacrament of penance, which we see in that gospel. First reading is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Now, what we see here is through the work of the apostles. And this is an example of how the early church would operate. The material needs of the needy are being provided for by the Lord, acting through the apostles and the early Christians. And what is this? It's an outpouring of God's mercy. You know, mercy is not strictly spiritual. Mercy involves material needs as well. And sometimes we forget that the Lord wants to meet our material needs in addition to our spiritual ones. This is an example of that. So the needs of the people are being provided for through the church, but in reality, God is working through his church to provide for the needs of his people. He's being merciful. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. See that connection there? Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. I was hard pressed and was failing, but the Lord helped me. In what? In his mercy. He helped me. I was failing. I couldn't do whatever it is on my own. I needed his help. He helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. And that love, remember, which encounters what? Suffering. That love does something about that suffering. That's what the Lord does. In the gospel, he grants his peace. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see he provides for the material needs of his people. And that's all an outpouring of the Lord's mercy. The second reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. We are, as we look at this second reading, you know, following up the mercy theme, everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. So if we truly love God the Father, then we will also love Jesus. And in this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. That's sometimes we think that love is a feeling. You know, that's the message that we hear from the world. Love is a feeling, but it's not. Love is a choice. And in the case of loving God, how do we know we love God? By keeping his commandments. And that reminds us, it's not only just following the saying, yes, I agree with the teachings of his church. No, it's actively doing something to prove that love. And that involves being merciful to others. So interestingly enough, when we looked at that first reading and we see that the church is literally providing for the needs of the people by contributing their excess goods, or not necessarily their excess good, but goods, but by contributing to the apostles so that they can distribute the whatever the needy stand in need of, that they can be able to help them. So the people are showing their love for God by taking care of those in need. And really, if we love God, that's what we're called to do. He's merciful to us, and that's the theme of today's, all of the readings today. But then we are in turn expected to show our love for him, not just by assenting to the teachings of the church and saying, yes, I agree with everything, but by actively taking care of those in need. That doesn't always mean materially. It could be spiritually, it could be emotionally, it could be just listening to somebody when they're having a bad day, when they need some advice. It could be teaching them about the truth of the faith. It could be providing for their material needs as well. It's a combination of all these things. So God is merciful to us, but he expects us to be merciful toward others. That means sometimes forgiving them when they offend us, as he forgives us when we offend him. So this mercy comes from God to us, but then we're expected to return that mercy to God, which involves being merciful to others as well. So that's the theme of mercy today. And it's, you know, it's not just that we're receivers of the mercy, of God's mercy. We're expected to be givers and sharers of it as well. Sometimes that's not easy. It's not always easy for us to forgive. It's not always easy for us to extend mercy, especially if we think we've been offended severely or if the other person in our mind doesn't deserve it. But we're called to imitate the way God is merciful with us by being merciful to others. And one last thing, we only just have about a minute or so in the program. Just really, you know, I don't want the fact that the sacrament of confession was instituted in that gospel today. We saw the institution of the sacrament of confession. I don't want that to get lost in this message. I want to make sure that if it's been a long time for you, that if you haven't been to confession in a long time, I'm going to strongly encourage you to do that, to go back and to ask for the Lord's forgiveness in this great sacrament. Don't be carrying around the burden of past sins. They can be forgiven. They can be forgiven. Just give it a try. If it's been a long time, make it a point to go to confession. All right, I'm just about out of time. I really want to thank you for joining me on the program today. If you have any questions, you can reach me through my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your kind words. I thank you for your donations to my ministry. If you want to make a donation, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. You can do that securely right from the website. I hope you have a fantastic week. Remember, keep celebrating Easter. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Don't let it go just yet. It's not time. We want to keep celebrating this great occasion. Hope you have a great week, and I look forward to joining you next time right here on the program. Bye-bye now.